Good morning, church. First of all, before I say my sermon today, I would like to make an announcement that I've been accepted to the candidacy process for ordination for a local pastor. And I think it's a great a deliverance from God, and I thank him. And I also would like to thank the SPRC. I had an interview last weekend, and I also been accepted for their support. And now I think the support from the congregation. Praise God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads before thee, and your word is before us. We ask you, God, to open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, and our spiritual ears so that your provision will be within us as we proclaim your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My topic today, let us be the doers of the word. My introduction is the creative force behind all great art, all great drama, all great music, all great architecture, all great writing is passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished without passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes life. Passion gives us the reason to get up and to do and go, get up in the morning and go. God created us with emotions to have passions on our lives, and he wants us to live a passionate life. Passions what mobilize us to do God's work. Passion is what drives Christ to do the will of the Father. Our scripture today from Paul's letter to the Romans on 12, emphasizing the importance of loving one another in sincere and genuine love. In our sermon today, there's two parts of which Paul clarifies us is to be the center of his message, that love plays a vital role in our Christian life and also to our neighbors and to our enemies. In Greek, words of love are expressed in four categories. The first one is phileo, or Philadelphia, the brotherly love. And second, storge, the affection of the mother towards the child. Third, eros, which is the root word of erotic, the love between a man and a woman. And fourthly, the important one of all, the agape love, when someone gave his or her life for the sake of others. And the big example is Christ and what he did on the cross. Without agape love, we cannot perform the other three that I mentioned above. To stress love is to listen without interrupting, is to speak without accusing, is to pray without ceasing, is to answer without arguing, is to share without pretending, is to enjoy without complaint, is to trust without wavering, is to forgive without punishing, and is to promise without forgetting. So Paul stresses out to the Christians in Romans to love one another in sincerely and not hypocrisy. Believers are commanded constantly, abhor evil, to be attached constantly to the good. They are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. They are to outdo one another in showing respect for each other. Second part of my sermon, we need to show the world that Christ has commanded us to be his servant. In the world today, life is full of chaos with different religion, culture, lifestyle, and there is a challenge that people may not like what we are saying or sharing to them. But Christ has commanded us to make peace with one another. I know it's easy to say than done. But Paul says, avenge not yourself. This is a hard lesson to learn. Therefore, a remedy against us. The line of our duty is clearly marked out. And if our enemies are not melted by our persevering kindness, we are not to seek vengeance. They will be consumed by the fiery wrath of that God to whom all vengeance belongs to. The last verse suggested what is not easily understood by the world, that in all strife and contention, those that revenge are conquered, and those that forgive are conquerors. Be not overcome of evil. Learn to defeat ill signs against you, either to change them or to preserve our own peace. Those of us, as this rule over his or her body or his spirit, is better than the mighty. To sum up my short sermon today, two Bible words that I would like to end up with. The first is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. The word fought the good fight means the battle against evil. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of battles that needs to be won out there. Let us name some. The battle of communism. The battle of atheism. The battle of secularism, the battle of racism, the battle of equality, the battle of homelessness, the battle of injustice, and so forth. Church, please don't give up the good fight. In Paul's case, most of the battle he won. Why? He remained in the course, consistency. Let's see the word course. It may refer to a lap in a race. For example, in a marathon, they use miles and kilometers. For Paul, he talks about the numbers of years and centuries he has been in the course. Paul's race came to an end when God called him back. It may so happen to you, to me, today, and who knows? Just to remind us that every day you are just inches away from the tomb or from the grave. We must give our all and should not give up. The only thing that drives and boosts and energizes Paul is the faith he had in Christ. In Luke 9:23, Christ says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross daily and follow me. The word deny is turning away from the idolatry of self-centeredness and every attempt to orient one's life by the dictates of self-interest. We see here, we must focus on Christ and not the self in order to finish the race and win the battle. That is my message today, and praise be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we proclaim your word today to be ours, and we realize without you, we can't do anything. We ask you, O God, to be with us as we set foot to the battlefield. Encourage us with the Holy Spirit and mold us to be the doers of your word. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.